Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers for Real show. Brothers for Real, broadcasting from all over the place. We're broadcasting from Washington, D.C., North Carolina, and anywhere that you may have a telephone or a computer. Glad you could join us today. I am Robert Gatewood. I am sitting in until Leon Gatewood arrives. He's out there doing some things. He's going to be joining us in a minute. This is the Brothers for Real show. We join you every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., and I'm Robert Gatewood. I'm co-hosting today. Brothers for Real is a show about the brothers giving their perspective on real issues, and they are brothers for real. That's why we call them brothers for real. They're not fake brothers. They're not just brothers like soul brothers. These are brothers for real, brothers including Joseph Gatewood, Robert Gatewood, Leon Gatewood, and Curtis Gatewood. I think we have Joseph over there on the phone. Hey, Joseph, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Roberto? This is Joseph calling to you, talking to you from Charlotte, North Carolina, home of the
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Joseph.
Huh? What's
going on in Charlotte, man? What's this madness going on up there in Charlotte we've been hearing all over the country today and yesterday?
Just madness, man.
What's going on?
The same madness is going on all over the world. People are just crazy now. They're just craziness all over the place. I've just been crazy at the top. It had no place to go but trickle down.
Joe, you hit the nail on the head, because this madness, now, people are going to argue. You have some Trumpites just going to say, well, Trump didn't do it. But when you plant this, when you create the fertile ground, when you plant the seed, when you create an atmosphere, when people feel it's okay, it's going
That's
to affect
right.
people, it's going to affect the children, it's going to affect
right.
the mentally already unstable.
That's
it's
right.
It's like a sickness. It's like a disease. It just spreads.
I mean, you're giving them the green light.
Yes, sir. You know that.
Especially when
you keep a thought on a. Go ahead, Joe.
You know, especially when, you know, we have a Congress that will not act on these issues because they're bought out by the gun lobbyists, specifically the NRA. So,
hey, Joe,
we got
check this out. Check this out, Nana. The same time, we're having the story up in Charlotte about the guy shooting up the school up at the college. A lady driving down the street. I just read this yesterday too. She's driving down the street, minding her business. I just picked a boyfriend up from work. Bullet came out of the woods from, they don't know yet who shot her. Came through her neck and hit the guy sitting next to her.
Good.
There are so many guns and bullets out there. Joe, there are so many guns and bullets out here flying around. You could just be driving down the street and a bullet just come out of nowhere and shoot you. That just tells you how the sickness of this country right now. This crazy gun madness.
That exact thing happened a few weeks ago in Charlotte, down on the corner of 28th Street and North Tryon Street. Young lady on the way to going to nursing school, actually. A shootout going on, and she just happened to be passing by. Bullet came through, hit her, killed her. Just a few weeks ago, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And both
yeah, some madness going on out here.
Yeah, because people were calling me yesterday, seeing how I was doing, because you know the school is right down the street from my office where the shooting took place.
I know exactly where it is. I'm familiar. Well, welcome to the Joe Show. Welcome to the show, Joe. But, who else we got on the line? Is that Leon, you over there yet?
Hey, Leon here, brother. Leon is chill.
Leon, man, that was
you,
quick,
bro.
Yeah,
man, I tell
how
you,
man, doing?
You had to keep it moving out here, man.
Welcome. Man, we doing good. I was just making the rounds here. Just letting folks know who we got here. We got Leon, we got Joseph, I am Robert. This is Brothers for Real. And Brothers for Real, by the way, is brought to you by Marketing Pulpit International. And Brothers for Real has really become one of our flagship signature shows. We're one of the hot shows on the Marketing Pulpit Network, in addition to our Radio 1 show up in Washington, D.C. We have Dennis Shipman comes on out of New York every Monday. We got Sharon Bennett out of Charlotte, North Carolina. On the weekend, we have the Coach Extra Point show. We have the Disability show on Friday. So we got a nice network here. I'm just glad to have the Brothers for Real. But one thing we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to kick the ball over to Leon, is this giving back. And what are we doing as a community? What are we doing as organizations? What are we doing as people? And Leon seems to be the focal point. He's the nucleus. He's the core of one of the biggest events coming up, the Holla 5K. So, Leon, I'm gonna let you sit on the interviewee side for a minute. I just want to ask you a couple of questions about this event coming up, and then I'm going to just give the ball back to you in general. But Leon,
okay, man.
Let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. Man.
Thank you, Robert. How are you, Joseph?
How you doing, Leon?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm blessed, as they say.
Leon, let me ask you.
I'm blessed. Yeah, man.
Why? What? Break that down for me now, because I've heard about them. I've even probably been to one. I think I went to yours. But what is a 5K? Just break that down in this most base terms for anybody who has never participated, wondering, they don't understand the nomenclature, the verbiage, the meaning. Just break down, what is a 5K?
Okay. A 5K is a 5-kilometer run or walk or however you want to do it. But a lot of people found ways to use that, or it's a popular way, if you will, to raise money. It's a popular fundraiser. So what actually happens is people, hosted by some kind of nonprofit or cause, and people pay $20 to $30 to $40 to participate or run in that 5K, and it's actually 3.1 miles. It's 5 kilometers or 3.1 miles. So, 3.1 miles, yes, sir. And I tell you, man, it's a beautiful thing when people come together, you know, find a reason to come together and support a cause. And that is one of our signature fundraisers at the Holla Center. It's not really our major fundraiser at the Holler Center. When we don't have a good 5K, we have a bad day. We have a bad year. So when I say
well,
bad year, I mean, yes, sir.
Let me stick with 5K for a minute, because I thought 5K meant kegs. I thought that K stands for kegs. So I was looking for the beer. So you telling me that's not okay? Thanks for clearing
that.
We're
gonna have that too, bro. That's later on. After the walk.
After the fact. Okay, so if everybody listening, 5K does not stand for kegs. It is
that
may be a keg in the back somewhere, but that's not what
we're
it is.
We're all hoping there's a keg or two around there somewhere.
But
it's actually not.
So this is I'm telling you, this is enlightening for me, and I'm sure it's enlightening for others too. But generally, people that participate, they are contributors to the cause as well. So you just don't jump
absolutely
in and just start running. You've done some type of paperwork leading up to that race.
Absolutely. Either you've done some pre-registration, or you can register on site. Like I say, during pre-registration, we have pre-registration days, and then we have a pre-registration. You can register online for this race. It's on racesonline.com, and you can go in there and just sign up online, and then we already have you registered. So, yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing. We're looking for one of our biggest. This will be our fifth one. This is going to actually be probably one of our most well-participated ones. We're expecting a big day on May 11th.
Well, let me ask you this, Leon. What are some of the drivers, some of the determining factors that might make a 5K a big win versus one that's not so big, or one that might not be big at all? What are some of the things that might make a successful 5K?
I'll just use our own for example. One of the biggest determining factors that would make your 5K successful is the groundwork, the preparation for it.
Wow.
Now, last year we didn't do a lot of preparation, and it showed. It was one of our worst years. But this year we've started early, and we've got a lot of participation. We got the middle school and some middle school here who has about the middle school has over 30 people registered to register to participate in this 5K. And we have And we have over 15 teams signed up already.
What?
So you're looking at 10 member teams. Yeah.
What?
You're looking at 10 member teams.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me do the math here. You said 15 teams.
Yes,
and there
sir.
Might be 10 people in a team.
That's the standard. Yes, sir. $150 per team, sir.
Now, I didn't need my MBA degree to know that's over 100 folks right there.
Yeah.
And then you got 30 folks from the school. And that's just from two sources, from the teams and the school. And then you have individuals who are signing up, I guess.
Yeah, we have individuals signing up. And then we have people volunteering. We have over probably 50 volunteers out there that day. People manning and managing the route, making sure people don't get lost along the route, and making sure they have water. Probably have a couple of porta-johns set up on the route. We have the Buffalo Soldiers of North Carolina coming to our 5K this year. They're not coming to run; they're just coming to support the Buffalo Soldiers. They have their motorcycle team and the horses, the infantry. So we're gonna have them out. Of course, we're gonna have Robert Gatewood. He's gonna be hosting the event. Yes, sir.
Hey. I was going to say, them horses ain't going to be running on the race with everybody else, buddy.
We think about them horses. Yeah, but no, Don. Somebody might want to ride those horses for to get through that 3.1 mile.
Well, that's what I was thinking, man. I was going to borrow one if I had to go through this. I didn't know if, as you mentioned that Robert Gate was going to be hosting, I didn't know if his participation included having to run this during 3.1 miles. You might enlighten me on that one right now.
You're supposed to be out front. Hey, Joseph. You're supposed to be out front.
Oh, my God. Hey, man, how can I host and run, through? I thought that was giving me a free pass. I'm supposed to be like what's that car in front of the race? Like when they start the race, they got what do you call it? The flag on. 5K. That's news.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for enlightening the brother.
But okay. Yeah, man, and also check this out. We have a rally. We have a warm up rally for our 5K every year, and the people that do the timing, they're Time Well. That's the name of that organization. Time Well tells us this. It's the lie they tell it every year. They say this is one of the most exciting races we do. It's so unique because we do this 1 hour warm up rally. And this year. This year, for the warm-up rally, we have Daniel, your brother, Daniel.
What?
He's going to be – he has a line dance group working on his song. You know, he did a line dance to Mother Gave Me Life.
What?
He did a line, like a little – everybody clap your hands, cha-cha slide version of Mother Gave Me Life. So he turned it over to this line dance group that's going to be there on Saturday, on May 11th. And they're going to do it. They're working up a line dance for Daniel's song. They're going to introduce that song that day. Line dance that morning. Yes, sir. So all mothers come out. All mothers to the dance floor. Also on that day, we have Miss Keisha Galloway. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. The warm-up. That's the that happens like before the race starts.
Yes.
In the same morning.
In the same morning. Are you trying to say people gonna get tired?
Hey, look, man. I can only speak for me. Okay, I'm probably not your representative of your typical runner. I'm over here counting energy already. So you got to dance before the race, then you got the race itself. You can't drive your bicycle or ride a horse. Okay, I'm just taking notes. I'm just trying to follow you. So that happens like in the morning. I guess that happened pretty early then.
That happens pretty early. That's gonna start at 8:00.
8:00, okay, and the race starts at 9:00.
And then, I'm not through yet. Then Coach Harvey, he's gonna give a 10-minute warm up.
Help us, Jesus.
Coach Harvey from Washington D.C.
Oh, homeboy. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, you getting all this, Joe?
Yeah, man. I'm taking it all in.
I got to talk about Joseph in a minute now, but we're gonna save the best for last. So then we have Ms. Cheryl Brady and Ms. Jolita Felder. They're gonna do some warm ups. You see, here's why we do so many different warms up. Everybody doesn't warm up the same way. Some people like to warm up with Zumba. Some people like to warm up with line dance. And some people like, so we're going to have something for everybody.
Leon, before you give me the whole warm-up posse, why is warm-up important?
Warm-up is important because it's warm-up. Anytime you want to do any type of exercise, you want to warm up. You want to get your blood flowing, your heart rate up, loosen up your muscles. Get your adrenaline flowing.
It's a psychological thing too, I imagine, because you get a chance to bond with the other races, the other fellow 5Kers.
Oh yeah, it's a team.
It's
like everybody's a big team.
Yeah,
it's a team effort.
So once you start running, you might not see some of these folks to the end. So you get that one chance to get everybody together and kind of do a little camaraderie and bonding. And
that's right.
So I can see that. Yeah.
That's right.
Cool.
That's right.
Cool.
That's right. Everybody is happy doing it. Of course, at the same time, we're going to be having registrations. We're going to, while all this is going on, those who have not registered yet will be over there getting signed up. And at the same time, also during this period.
So they can register on the spot.
On site registration is $20. That's why we try to encourage people to go ahead and register in advance, because it's $5 more to register on site.
Okay.
I mean, we appreciate it, but we're just letting people know. And like I said, I want to give a big shout out to Anson Middle School again for just jumping in. He is on wide open in this thing, man.
Now, Leon, tell me once again. Now, who's the warm up crew again? I didn't mean to cut you short on that. Who is the total warm up crew?
Okay, we have Hold on a minute, man. You done caught me off guard. A minute.
I know you got Daniel. You got Daniel starting with the he got the Mother's Day hustle shuffle.
Yeah, you got Daniel. We got Daniel doing the Mother's Day shuffle there, and we have of course Coach Harvey. He's gonna close it out. He's gonna close the warm up out with a 10-minute warm up. So when Coach Harvey gets done, it's over. I mean, it's time to hit the road running. That makes sense.
Now, is there like a gun that goes off or a police siren? Or you just say, y'all gone, get to running? How's that?
See, that's what happens. See, here's what happens. Here's what, Joseph, you still listening?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's what happens.
Well, I'm asking, hey, Leon, I'm asking these questions for me, too, so I'm getting.
Yeah, I got you. I wanted to get Joseph in on his answer. Because Joseph is our Gatewood Insurance and Real Estate is our primary funder for this event.
What?
So with that, yes, he's a silver sponsor. That said, he gets to shoot the gun. He gets to say on your mark, get ready, set, go.
What?
Yes,
wow.
Get out of here. It's not a real gun, man. It ain't got no bullets in it.
No. Man, yeah, you never know, though. Don't give anybody that damn idea, boy. Huh?
I don't need no accidents.
Yes, sir.
Do I need to bring my own gun?
No.
Okay.
We'll prefer you leave it home.
Okay.
Please.
We would really appreciate you leaving it at home.
We don't want the mar to incident the occasion with some type of accident. So please leave all weapons home, please.
Could you do that for us, Joseph?
I can do that.
Thank you so very much.
I had
so
let me ask this, Leon.
Yes.
I got some more questions, Leon. I'm a quiz you on this. I hope you did your homework. Now, is it an actual race?
It is. You know, I'm glad you asked. Thought you never asked.
Okay.
It is an actual race. Okay. It's an actual race.
A winner in every
race. There will be winners. We have categories of winners.
Okay.
On different age groups. We have different age groups of winners. Then we have an overall winner. That makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Of course it does. Yeah. Then we have an overall winner. Here we are right here.
So if you're like 100 years old, you're not in the same category as somebody who's 21.
We try not to allow that to happen.
That's a good idea.
But those jokers, right, those are old people. Excuse me for saying it like that. They're consistent, man. They're persistent. You can't just run around them now, I'm trying to tell you.
But they don't be trying to trip you, do they?
So what?
They don't be trying to trip you, do
they? I'm trying to tell you, man. These old people, right. Man.
Forearm, or something like that.
Hey, you guys can move, man.
Wow.
These guys
let me ask you this.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, though. Here's how this thing works. We have all kinds of people participating. Some people come just to walk. Some people come just to have fun and come and support you. Then some people really take the walk seriously. They come in it to win it. We have people out here, out here right now, training on the route.
Get up out of here.
Yes, sir. We probably have some people out there on the route, running the route right now.
All right, okay, no, they're not, are they?
Appreciate it. Wait, I'm sorry.
That ain't serious. Those are serious.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have a young man named Mr. Ferguson. I don't remember his first name. Mr. Ferguson comes every year, and every year Mr. Ferguson wins. And we give our winner $100 cash, the overall winner of the race. And he gives the $100 back to the center every year.
Oh, man.
So give him a hand.
Get it, man.
So
what
we try to do is make sure he wins. Yes.
Just push everybody else down. We want him to win. Whether he's the fastest
but every
or not,
year
we'll win.
Every year we'll give him the check and we stand there and wait for him to say.
Supposedly having a bad year 1 year and yeah man, I need some new tires, some rims. that ain't gonna happen though. But he's good though. I guess he's pretty fast, huh?
Yeah, man, he's good. He's
I got a couple more questions. I heard you say the word walk, and I've been using the word run. Is it a walk or a run?
It's both.
Okay.
Some people come in just to come and hang out, have a good time that day, enjoy the rally, walk the route. And like I said, they come and support. If you see out, if you look at the cover page on Holler's website, you'll see most of the people there are just walking and having a good time. That was one of our better years, one of our well participated years right there. And a lot of people, like I say, just come out and have a good time, come out to support. And it's a beautiful thing,
okay.
Man. It's a beautiful
thing. The one that finished first, like the guy who gets the $100, he's actually running.
Oh, yeah, he comes to win it, brother.
He's in it to
win it, brother. He comes to win. I'm going to tell you how you want to know how he warms up.
How do
he
warm up?
He runs the route to warm up. He gets
there
and runs the route.
On
he
the
gets
there
and runs 3.1 miles to warm up.
On that day.
On that day.
Hell, I'm going to give him $100 just for that. That man deserves $100 just for that.
That's how he warms up.
Man, I like him. I like that seriously. But,
he's
but Leon, now let me ask you, the race, let's say from beginning to end, about how long does the race take?
It can take up to 1.5 hours for, you know, the people that don't really like to run at all.
I'm working on the last one.
So you're looking at, let's say the average person walks a mile in about 17 minutes, right? So you're looking at about an hour.
I did it 1 year, Robert.
You went the whole thing?
Yep.
How long did it take you?
I was there 1 year.
Remember?
Huh? You said how long did it take me?
Yes.
See, y'all got my time mixed up. Y'all cheated me.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey,
controversy already.
Here you go. Okay.
Y'all put my time with my wife's time, and she was out there picking flowers and everything along the route.
Okay.
So I think y'all
right.
For about 7 hours.
I think you're right, though. I do remember that.
But
y'all had to see what happened, though, Robert. Once you put that bib on, the timers keep up with you. That makes sense.
Right.
It's not like they sitting there with a stopwatch popped, and you know every time somebody walked by, they clicking it. This thing is they have a little chip embedded in that bib. And it tracks
get
the
out
times.
Of here.
Yeah. So Joe and his wife may have changed bibs.
Yep.
Oh. That's the thing.
You know how wives are. She might have said, your bib look better than my bib.
She tricked you.
And I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't say whatever. I just gave him my bib.
I'm going to give Mr. Ferguson my bib. I'm going to trick him. I'm going to steal it.
So that thing actually timed you. So it knows how long it took you to get from that beginning to the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
See, with those little bibs on, they're not just trying to be cute. That thing is timing them.
I thought to keep the bee off you when you're drinking your beer and running down your chest.
Let's say, right, Joseph.
How does that do that? How does it time you? I mean, what's the technology that does that?
We should have had them to call in.
Well, that's curious. That's a curious thing, but I figure it's probably like a GPS system or some kind of global tracking system.
Yeah.
So it's some in that family. Let's put it that way.
Probably so they have to get the route. They make sure they track the route, and they get all the coordinates of the route into their computer, and then, you know, you have that bib on and it's got some kind of magnetic something on it. I don't know. Don't start me lying, bro.
Well, all right.
they don't get me to lying like Barr and Trump.
Well, I tell you what, Leon, we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm just going to hand this thing over to you in case I didn't remember to ask. And
well, man, I'm drained.
Let you go ahead.
It was hard answering questions. You drained me, man. We're not going to talk about that when we get back. We're going to talk about something else.
We're going to talk about not just in the holler, the 5K, but giving in general. What is it about this giving? Are people giving enough? Is it we need to give more? Our community needs us to give more. So we're going to talk about giving in general. This is the Brothers For Real. I'm Robert. I'm sitting in with Leon today. Don't go anywhere. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 215-383-3872. Brothers For Real. We'll be right back after the break.
A company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
Man, I love that song, man. Play that again, man. That'll make you shine. Make it do that again, man. Can you do that again?
Gatewood Marketing is a company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
God, boy, that got me.
That jingle was actually produced and created by baby brother Daniel Gatewood. He created the jingle for Gatewood Marketing. That young man is the bomb. He is the boss, I'm telling you. That guy is.
Man, that sounded good, man. That sounded good right there, though. I ain't going to say play it again, man, but I do want to hear it again, but I'm not going to say play it again.
You don't have to, man. He's singing about me. I play it all day long.
It's a company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
That young lady, that young lady who's in that ad, she's a chef, Chef Christy Richardson. She was my first marketing client. She was my client up until she retired her business this year. And she called me the other day and said, Robert, she started out with a small catering company, just doing kind of catering out of her house. She ended up buying a kitchen where she was actually doing full-scale catering for government, corporations. Then she bought another center where she held events, like weddings and proms, and it was called the Christie Center, Clinton Center, the Clinton Center, in Clinton, Maryland. And she was, anytime I needed somebody to talk about my company, or she would just, I mean, I didn't have to ask her, she'd just jump up. So when I was doing a spot for a radio spot, and she just got the word that I was doing this spot, and she volunteered. She said, "Look, I want to tell everybody what you've done for me." She said, "Really, I thank the Lord for Gatewood Marketing." I said, "Look, just say that on the air." And so she got in front of Mike. She said, I thank the Lord for Gatewood Marketing. Now, if you go to my website, Gatewood Marketing, you'll see her right there on the front page, Chef Christy, and many other folks who are willing to attest to what we've done for companies over the years. And even the people on the phone, Joseph, Leon, Curtis, all you guys have been clients of the company. So I'm proud of you guys, too, that you have been working with you guys over the years, and we've grown now thanks to people like Christy and you guys. Now we're doing government contracts. We're working with the state. We're working with the school systems. We're doing some pretty heavy stuff, and it's all in that started just like when I started around the same time Christy started. We were just small little one-person shops just out here trying to make a penny. And all of a sudden, if you put out good work, then people keep coming back, and Joseph is a testament to that, and holla. But every now and then we have to take some of that money. This is what I there's a three-prong approach. I say you have to make it, you have to save it, you got to invest it, and then you got to share it. And that's that last part that's what we can't ever forget. We have to give something back, whether it's money, whether it's service, whether it's time. That last piece is what really makes us whole. So that's your setup, man. I'll set you up. Take the ball.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Robert. I just want to thank you guys for being the kind of guys you are, man. Because I meet a lot of people. I deal with a lot of people. And the people that I have the most respect for, the most love for, are people who will give back, you know. Mm. Now, I call myself training a lot of people, you know, working with, you know, I work with a lot of people that work with me. And one of the things I try to instill in everybody that comes around me or under my tutelage or whatever the word is, so you got to give back, guys. Don't get caught not giving back. Because what you'll find out is, it just makes life so easy. When you give, when you're a giving person, I mean, life is stress. You know, you relieve a lot of stress from yourself. You just start sharing what you. I may end up being one of the brokest people in the whole wide world, but I have lived so far, you know, and just being one of the happiest people in the whole wide world. Because every day I just try to give back, and it works for me.
You know,
yes, sir.
You know, this is something I discovered. I found out, and this is an interesting twist. There's almost like a selfishness to giving because it does so much for you. When you get into the habit of giving,
that's irony.
You know what I'm saying? When you get into the habit of giving, you start giving to make yourself feel good because it's such a high.
it's like a high, man. It's a high. I'm trying to tell you, it's a high, brother. I mean,
you
really.
High again.
I know, man. I know. I'm gonna tell you what happened to me the other day. I was in the Ladybug restaurant. I'm gonna tell you, and it just makes you feel good no matter what happens. And I told the guy, I said, I want to pay for that dude's. I said, no, I just want to pay for those little ladies' dinner back there. And the cashier said, no, that guy there, I said, he's going to pay for that dinner.
Dude, I want that good feeling, daggum it.
I know, man. I'm like, man, go away. I mean, I saw that little lady sitting over there, man. They just looked like they were ripe for a good deed, brother.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, this guy was over there, he was waiting to pay for the little lady's dinner, man. And then this week, somebody paid for my dinner. I'm at the in the Ladybug. I'm in there, and this lady just said, I'm going to pay for his. Give me that ticket. I mean, and you know what she said? She said, Hello. I'm sowing a seed. That's the way she looked at it. I mean, that's the way people look at it when they do good deeds. She says, I'm sowing a seed by paying for Mr. Gabe Wood's lunch today. Mm-hmm.
I know these are small little things, but the impact they have on people's lives. This was recently, probably about a year ago, and this one just stood out. I mean, I like to do things in bigger ways, but sometimes those small things can have such an impact on somebody's day and probably their life and their week in their life. This young person was at the counter struggling. They asked for $5 for gas, and they, like, emptying their pockets and wallet, just laying coins out there on the counter. I dropped a 20 on the counter. I said, look, go ahead and get your $20 worth. And didn't ask for anything. Wasn't trying to get no names, numbers, and call me and listen to my show. I want that person to know that there's faith in humanity. And guess what's going to happen? That person is going to do that same thing for somebody else when they're able.
That was a seed. Yeah, you planted that seed in their spirit.
Yeah.
And it will prosper. It will grow. It will multiply.
I'll tell you what happened to me, Leon and Robert. I was at the Walmart one night. And this young lady came up there. She was buying some of that baby formula for a baby. And I said, you want to go ahead and put that with mine? And I said, I'll pay for it for you. She looked at me like, I said, yeah. She said, will you do that for me? She said, because this is my last 20. I said, yeah, go ahead and put it with mine. I said, I'll take care of it. And she said, can I give you a hug? I said, yeah, you can give me a hug. So she gave me a hug, and she ran out of that store just about kicking her heels together. So I saved that girl probably about $18, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know whether it was by mistake or the guy at the cash register, he had felt so much. He felt so good about what I had done. I had picked up about $60 worth of steaks, right? Because I was going to, do a little cooking on the grill the next day. I just ran them steaks up for about $20. You know what I'm saying?
Karma, man. That's karma.
Hey, Robert. All of a sudden, I was just like you. I didn't do it to get nothing in return. But I done got more back just that quick than I gave.
That's the way it works,
it's
brother.
That feeling, man. It's that feeling. I'm going to tell you, I've told this story before, and the young man knows it because there's a young guy that works with me. He has Asperger's syndrome. It's a communication disorder for people who they can't communicate or have a hard time communicating with people. And it's a form of autism. As a matter of fact, August was Autism Aware this month. And I pay him every month for a job that really I know darn well I could do or probably would. I know that means so much to him because I met the young man, and the social worker that introduced me to him, she pretty much said, this guy, he's a good guy, but he struggles. He's, when people have autism, they're very robotic. They can do repetitive tasks, but the reason people don't hire them is because their communication, they mistake their communication inabilities as some type of being slow or having an attitude, or so a lot of people can't relate. So I said, shoot, I got the perfect job for this guy. He doesn't need to come to. He doesn't have to leave his house. But I knew it wasn't something that I just had to have. But I said to myself, this is something that I have to do, though.
Right.
And it's not a full-time job, but I know for a fact that these small acts, when we have, and this is not a pat ourselves on the back kind of party, this is a let people know the impact of what these small little acts of kindness can do. Now, there are big acts that we can do, like your organization, Leon. It's all about helping. But there are individual acts that we can commit, that we can facilitate on a daily basis until we get to those big acts. Because it's those daily acts that people feel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Let me tell you
what
happened to me
on my birthday. They feel that right then. Go ahead,
Joe. Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what happened to me on my birthday weekend. Well, I'm going to tell you what happened before my birthday weekend. We were at a little dinner one night, for my granddaughter. And everybody, you know, in the family, you know, everybody, they are always independent. Everybody like to pay for their own dinner or whatever, whatever. So it was about, I think it was about, it was me and about, I think about 12 women. And so, so the waitress, she came around, and I just whispered in her ear, because they always try to be independent. I told the lady, I said, when you ring it up, I said, just put everything on one ticket. So I paid for everybody's dinner.
12?
About a week later, I went up to Carolina Beach for my birthday weekend. So, Patricia, while she was in the restaurant, you know, while I was parking the car, and she got in a conversation with this young man, late 20s, early 30s, told him we were up here for our birthday. And so after, you know, they had a little exchange, they went to their table, we went on our table. And, of course, so Patricia and I, we decided we were going to live it up tonight. We're going to eat whatever we wanted, crab legs, scallops, shrimp, salmon, you know, sea crab soup, whatever we wanted, we said we're going to do it. So we're not going to hold back. So the young man came over, and he said, I just want to let y'all know your lunch, your dinner is paid for. And
sea crab soup?
Like I said, we just went all over. We just went all out. And
surf and turf.
And so the waitress, she came over there, and she said, that young man, he paid for you all dinner. And then Patricia said, well, what about the tip? She said, don't worry about that. He said, he took care of me also. Hmm. And he said, y'all can sit here as long as you want to, but when you get ready to leave, you can just go. You know, what's in your money? He took care of everything.
Did you know him?
Hey. Never met the guy before. Matter of fact, I didn't even get his name.
Hey, Leon. Leon, yeah, Joe, let me say this. I'm going to flip this quickly, because the reason I give, and I'm pretty sure you guys have similar reasons, is because I have received so much.
That's exactly right.
I start with my father, Reverend Dr. Gatewood, and Miss Geneva Gator Gatewood. That's where it started. I watched them give. I watched them give selflessly, really their whole lives, not just to us, our kids, but to others. And there have been people in my career path, people that I have, that they could have taken a different approach to certain circumstances that I was in or facing, but they chose to give. There's one guy, he's one of my clients now. He's been a client now probably almost as long as I've been in business, about 15, 20 years. And I admit, though, I was having a hard month. I mean, the economy had tanked. I mean, things were really, really bad. And this guy, he has a tax business, and he wasn't really, like, rich, but I knew he was doing okay. Mm-hmm. This guy just, I don't know if he had a sixth sense, if he was psychic or what. He just pulled me aside one day and say, look, man, I know the line of work you in, and I know what the economy is going through. He said, look, let me do this. He said, because I got a lot of stuff coming down the pike I'm going to need. You know, either we're about to move into a new office, we're about to buy this building up in Baltimore. He said, I'm just going to advance you $5,000 because I got this work coming, and I want you to be ready when the time comes. I knew damn well what this guy was doing. This had nothing to do with work. That to me.
He saw it in your eyes.
That
bro.
To me. He saw it. Sometimes you don't have to ask.
He saw your lunch bag, man.
He saw me. He saw my shoes run over. My hair was a little fuzzy. I'm a little gritty about the face. But he saw something. And that's right. That was a sea change kind of moment for me.
Robert.
That to
you know,
me
Robert.
Said that. When you can, when you receive, you have to give as well. So
that's
I
right.
didn't just come across, I didn't come about this, I didn't just come up, wake up one day being this good, big, generous guy.
Right.
I'm giving because others have taught me how to give.
That's right.
That's right.
And you know, Robert, just like that story you just told just then.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on and on and on with instances like that through my life. You know, sometimes I think
mm-hmm.
about
yeah.
sometimes I think about how much people helped me when I was up there at North Carolina Central by myself with no money.
Right.
Coming from home, you know, 144 miles away from home, no money, no nothing. And I got so much help from so many different people that I don't even know. They never asked me my name. They found out you were a student in college, and they just did whatever they could to help you. I mean,
that's why you do that now, isn't it, Joseph?
Yeah, that's right. And I tell people all the time.
Yeah.
I go back up there, I give, because I receive so much.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's what it's about, really. We have been fortunate because we have been the benefactors of people who have given to us, and it becomes our duty, our charge, to give to others.
You know what? I got my first saxophone that somebody gave to me, a good saxophone. A guy gave me that saxophone because of a little small deed I did for him. I didn't ask for nothing in return, nothing in return. I just did a little small deed for him. And once he found out I was in the insurance business, he came and gave me all of his insurance business. He found out I was in real estate, he had a house, he let me sell it. And one day he walked up in my office and brought me a saxophone and gave it to me. Just because of a little small deed I did for him, you know, years ago. Small deed, nothing, you know, something I never even thought about. But the thing just, it just blossomed out into so much. Like I said, you know, the people, and sometimes I'm like you, Robert, I feel guilty. Not guilty, but when you give, you get so much back. You just feel like, you just feel like, you know, I didn't mean to get all this back just with a little small deed I did.
Right.
But every time you give, you just keep coming back. Can't give away nothing.
Yeah,
you can't give away nothing.
Like Leon said, that's the irony of giving. There's a little selfishness because you get that good feeling. You just, man, it makes your day just like it. Right. It makes your day as much as that person you help. One, because you.
I know, man.
It accents the fact, it highlights the fact, one, that you're able to give and that you could be a lot worse off in life. And even when you're not rolling in money. Even when you're having those bad days, I've told people this, Joe and Leon, when you're having your worst time, that's when you should be your most generous.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need that pick-me-up. You need something to remind you that you're still alive. You need
that's
to
right.
remind yourself that you're not washed up, you're not done yet. And that's when you
that's
need
right.
to find that way, that place in your heart to give, not when you're rich, but when you don't
that's
have
right.
it to give. That's the best time
that's
to give.
That's right. But I told this guy one time, he was just crying the blues. And he said he can't get nobody to help him. You know what I asked him? I said, when was the last time you helped somebody?
That's right. That's exactly, Joe. I have had that same discussion with people. They're crying the blues. I said, the best way to do this is to take that emphasis off yourself.
That's right.
That's right.
You're going to focus on you, you're going to wall in self-pity. But there's a lot of folks doing worse than you.
I told this guy, I said, you may not have any money to give. I said, but there's a whole lot that you have that you can give. I said, just like, for example, you know, we got this rollout system in Charlotte where you roll your garbage cans out and they pick them up and you have to roll them back in the evening. I said, I guarantee you, I said, in this neighborhood, I said, there are a lot of senior citizens would be glad for you to come by and volunteer to roll that can out for them and roll it back up in the evening. Just pick one.
Yep.
They'll be glad.
Right.
The reason I knew they would be glad to do it because when I was sick, somebody did it for me, and I was so grateful.
Right.
Man, it's so much. There's so much you can do, you know. And like you guys say, people appreciate it, and the ones that don't act like it, they appreciate it. They just don't have the same personality as everybody doesn't have the same personality. You catch on to that eventually too, as you're going along the way, helping people. So don't be discouraged. You know, everybody doesn't get excited about it. You know, some people are shy about being helped or whatever, but you just know you have just made somebody's day. Every time you do it.
I'll tell you one more story. I'm going to let this go. I ran across a homeless guy. I had run across a homeless guy. And and he asked me for some money. And I looked at the guy, and I said, okay. I gave him $5 and gave him my business card. He asked me, what was I in? But he was just down on his luck at the moment, you know. But, you know, so, you know, I just said, well, you know, I gave the guy $5. I probably need it again. Next thing you know, the guy got back up on his luck. Next thing you know, he got a car, he got a wife, he got a house. And guess who his insurance man is now?
Money.
I was there about myself. I wish I could get that much return on every $5.
You say you wish you had given him 50, huh? You give him 50?
Well, Joseph, let me say this, man. We are doing, on behalf of the Holler Center, we first of all like to thank you for your very expert service that you have provided us over the years in the insurance, making sure we were safe and covered properly as far as all of our insurance needs are concerned. Yes, sir. And more exciting than that to me, Joseph, of course, is how generous you have been as far as giving back and sharing your supporting the organization financially, with especially with this 5K we have coming up. We really appreciate the donation you have made for this. And we are so excited about the May the 11th, and we're so excited that you do plan to be there, right?
Yes, sir. I will definitely be there.
Thank you, man. And let me tell you this too, guys. Now, on that same day, we're going to have we got a lot going on in the center that day. Coach Harvey's going to have a physical fitness, physical health workshop from 11 to 1. Then from 2 to 4, one of our good friends, Mr. Ben Tillman, his son, is having his graduation party from 2 to 4 at the center, at the very same center. He's graduating, and I think he's going to North Carolina State. Yeah, he's graduating and going to North Carolina State. And I remember Ben Tillman. He was our did photography for the center. And, he was our, we called him our moral compass for the center. And he passed away untimely. And you know, but now his son is, like I say, graduating on this year, and he's going to North Carolina State, and he's going to have his graduation party right at the center, right in the midst of all of it, all these other things we're having going on. It's going to be from 2 to 4. And then at 6 o'clock at the center, we're going to have a music concert with Ms. Destiny Stone. You may remember talking to her on the show, Robert. Destiny's going to be in concert at the center at 6 o'clock on that Saturday night. So we just had a full day. And all of these people we're talking about, man, it's just a beautiful spirit that we are working with. It's a culture of just a good spirited people that we're dealing with, and it just feels good, man. I'm just trying to tell you, it just feels good to doing what we're doing and working with the people we're working with. It's motivational and inspirational to see these young people coming, stepping forward, using the talents that God gave them, and it's good to see the. I'm just be honest with you, it's good to be in at the Holler Center, where we see young people coming in and growing and being nurtured by the love that the volunteers at the center, like Alex Gaddy, Johnny Pettiford, and all those guys are using their time to help get these young people where they need to be, man. It's a beautiful thing. I'm excited. God is good, man. Those of you that are listening, giving is good medicine.
Hey.
Giving is good medicine.
Leon, I just want to say to you, thank you for the world. I'm just going to speak for the whole world. Thank you for what you're doing, and specifically for the people down in North Carolina, Marvin and Waysburg and surrounding areas, for what you're doing for the children, for helping them with their test scores, really just giving them hope. I would say God is using you. You are setting a good example for the next generation of givers. If we need a poster boy of what giving looks like, then you are the personification of that. And I just want to thank you from the from the Gatewood family, from the people in Waysburg, from the Brothers for Real, from the marketing pulpit, from everybody. Thank you again for this event and what you've been doing down at the Hollow Center. You are, like I said, God is using you. You're doing good things, and the world is a better place because of it.
Thank you, brother. Brother, I like Joseph.
Yes.
Okay, I'll put your cell phone on mute. But look, man, like I said, just thank you again, man. Thank you to Robert for what you do to make sure everything. We're one of the most well-known organizations in the country. Based on, you know, thanks to Robert, you know, he's kept us out there, kept us on it, man. We appreciate it. And looks like our time has run out. Now, Robert, next week I actually will have some people on the show. I invited some people today, kind of at the last minute, and they weren't hearing it. But next week we will have some of the people that are going to be participating in the 5K on the show, and they're excited to be doing so. So it's got a big show coming up. We appreciate everybody for calling in tonight, everybody for being here tonight, all of those of you who are out there listening, and for making the Brothers for Real radio show one of the most popular on Robert's circuit, on the Marketing Pulpit circuit. We appreciate it. God bless you. We'll be back next Wednesday at the same time, same place, talking about some different stuff. We're going to talk about the Beverly Hillbillies next week, man. I've been binge watching the Beverly Hillbillies. Spotlight on James Brown, y'all. Hey, Robert.
Yo.
I'm gonna let you go home, man, but I went to see Mama last night, man.
How's Mama doing?
She's doing good. Mama's doing good.
Good.
I'm sure she's gonna be glad to see you next weekend. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Can't wait to see Mom. Can't wait. It's been a long time. Ain't seen Mom since Christmas.
I'm sure she'll be glad to see you next weekend.
Forward.
So, man. So, let me have
a good
trip
weekend,
down
man.
And,
It'll be a good weekend, man. It'll be a good weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be beautiful. It'll take your time, man. Get down here. But we will talk to you soon, man. Have a good night, man. Appreciate you.
All right,
God bless you.
Yeah.
Come on.